session titled Perspectives in Africa. We have two presentations up for you today. So in the essence of time, we're going to go through both presentations first, and then the speakers from both presentations will answer any questions at the end of the session. First up, we have the African Insurance Trap. This will be presented by Peter Tripe and Rebecca Miriuki from Deloitte. Rebecca's from Deloitte in East Africa, and credits also to Thomas and Jerry from Deloitte East Africa, who was unable to make it today.
Thanks, Carla. I'd just really like to start off by reiterating the welcome to Rebecca from our Nairobi office. In our sort of business, we have to be quite agile in what we do in responding to sort of client needs and things. But I think Rebecca took it to a new level this week. When she woke up on Monday morning in Nairobi, she had no inkling that she would be in Cape Town later this week. Some of you who are part of groups who have subsidiaries across Africa or clients across Africa are probably aware of some of the hurdles that South Africa's Home Affairs throw in our way of sharing human capital across Africa, and we were no exception. So Thomas Njeru is a director and leader of our East Africa insurance and actuarial practice, and despite submitting his visa application at the beginning of last month, and after much runaround, we eventually gave up this morning and asked Rebecca, who's in his team and who happens to also have a South African passport, if she would like to sort of stand up and help stand and deliver this presentation. So really, really sort of thanks for your agility and your contribution. We've exercised quite a bit of agility around also the logistics of getting Rebecca down, but then also what we tried to do is get a video of Thomas talking to the key part of the presentation. So I'm going to sort of kick off giving some of the background, some of the statistics and some of the issues that we see around penetration and the impact that it has in some of these industries. But then we want to sort of extend it to some of the aspects of so what. What are companies actually sort of doing about it? What are some of the strategies that are winning, and making, some sort of progress? So we've put a video together of Thomas, sort of talking to that part of the slide, only to find then that given the technology that we have, we can't both have a video and slides here. So when we do get to that section, we'll play it, we'll have the soundtrack of him sort of talking to the slides here. So please do bear with us. I apologize, it probably won't be quite as interactive as having him here, but between Rebecca and myself, I think we'll still add quite a lot of value and address those questions that we can deal in the Q&A section. Okay, so pressing ahead. As I said, I'm going to start off talking to some of the current state assessment, looking at some of the macro variables around insurance penetration and what that sort of means across Africa as a whole. Then I'm going to hand over to Rebecca to contextualize that to an East Africa perspective, looking at some of the Kenya statistics, as well as some of what the response is and how, following the traditional actuarial approach or the traditional operating model approach, is or is not working within those markets. And then, as I said, when we get to the road less traveled, Thomas will consider some of the other, breaking some of those orthodoxies of the traditional approach to selling insurance and what success people have gained so far in the market. Okay, so over the past 4 or 5 years, I've probably assisted or worked on anywhere between a dozen and sort of 20 due diligence acquisitions in various countries in West, East, and Central Africa. And so there's clearly a lot of interest in these markets. And I think this slide, sort of talks to that and is at the root of it. Because a lot of that interest, there is a little bit of consolidation that's sort of happening, but most of that interest is actually coming from countries outside of these countries. Typically South Africa, the UK, but even the US, and we've even seen some Far East interest recently. And where that is coming from is that in the context of domestic relative saturation of insurance markets, relatively stagnant economies, companies looking for growth see Africa, you know, as the next sort of frontier, and look to come in with a rising tide. And what this graph shows is probably quite familiar. This sort of statistic's been around for quite a long time. It comes from Swiss Re's regular research showing insurance penetration in various countries, showing premium income as a percentage of GDP. And other than the anomaly of South Africa and Namibia and Mauritius to a lesser extent, that sort of stands out. And South Africa is well known as being one of the second or third most penetrated insurance markets in the world. Other than, if you take South Africa out, compared to the global average of roughly sort of 6%, you know, the Africa average, including South Africa, is around about 3%. If you take that out, South Africa would be looking at a penetration probably close to the East Africa sort of level of about 1.1%. You know, with some of the countries, you know, such as Nigeria, it's well known, extremely low, you know, sort of penetration. Kenya, by sort of contrast, has actually got a relatively, you know, of some of the other African territories, is relatively sort of high, but, and that's on the back of very substantial sort of growth over the past 10 years. But still, some of the issues and complications of that sort of lack of scale are still manifest in that country in terms of value for money on a lot of products. Right. So this is looking at the insurance markets as a whole. You know, so companies see, you know, there's a positive here. You know, you've got relatively low penetration. Surely it's a matter of time before the tide rises all of the boats up to a global average as one aspect. And then obviously also, what about, you know, sort of growth in the GDP, you know, of these countries as well? And so Rebecca will talk to some of those sort of GDP sort of figures. You know, the GDP per capita in a number of these countries is relatively low relative to global norms. So as you have both the rising of the tide, both in terms of penetration and of GDP per capita, you'd expect substantial growth to come. And we sort of see this breaking it down a bit further into the other sub-industries, life insurance, non-life, as well as looking at the health sector. Again, we sort of see in the life insurance sector, you've got the developed markets, the advanced Asian markets, Western Europe and North America accounting for more than 75% of global premium income. With Africa, Latin America and the developing Asian markets, despite accounting for roughly two-thirds of the world's population, contributing roughly 25% of global insurance premium income. The other takeaway from this slide, apologize, it's, some of the symbols are quite small and the ASA fonts aren't always the best for seeing some of these things. Just wanted to make out these triangles show the rate of growth in the past year. So we see where growth in premium income is between 10 and 15%. We're looking in Africa, Latin America, and to a lesser extent, so Central and Eastern Europe. So small base, but showing some signs of significant growth. In the non-life market, a similar story in terms of the overall dominance by Western Europe and North America, less so from Asia this time. But again, you know, very low so penetration in Africa, Latin America. And again, here the growth rates a little bit less easy to make out. Emerging Asia leading the way between 10 and 15%. Latin America at sort of between 5 and 10%. Africa, in this case, actually going backwards in the past year. And I think that has probably is probably to do with the subsidence in the resource so sector. A lot of the non-life, you know, so businesses around corporate non-life insurance, and as the, you know, as some, you know, as some of the resource sectors have been impacted, I think that's sort of driven some of that decline in the non-life market across in the past year or so. Okay, the next slide is on healthcare insurance, And just to, this one's very difficult to make out. For each country, you've got three bars. And what we're actually trying to illustrate here is the relative amount of money that people are spending out of pocket for their healthcare needs. And the point of this graph is just getting across that untapped sort of market from a healthcare or medical services sort of business. So for each country, the first graph shows the amount of money is that is spent on health insurance or medical aid, type of products. The middle graph then shows what is the total out-of-pocket health expenditure that doesn't come from medical aid or health insurance type products. And then the third shows just the general expenditure on health as a percentage of GDP for each of these countries. And the key thing to see, through most of these African countries is the high proportion, 50% or more of healthcare expenditure comes from out of pocket. In South Africa, by contrast, with a relatively mature medical schemes, health insurance, as well as medical support, that out-of-pocket expenditure compared to these other markets is much lower. Okay, so the theme through all of these slides is the lack or the relative lack of penetration in all of these sort of markets. And, I started out by saying, well, this is actually a positive. It's an opportunity for us to sort of tap into. But a lot of those statistics, if we go back and look at what they showed, 10 years ago, a lot of them haven't actually materially sort of changed. And what we're seeing with a number of the markets is they're sort of sitting in this sort of trap, despite the best efforts and intentions to sort of grow the sizes of these markets. And this has been experience of a number of companies that have made acquisitions or set up operations in a number of the countries in these territories. There's a litany of woes around expense overruns, additional capital having to sort of come in, and basically a lack of scale. And part of that, there are a number of factors behind that, but obviously a part of that is the poor value for money that this represents. And that's what this slide is showing, is some statistics for these countries showing the breakdown of premium that is spent on distribution costs, management expenses, and then ultimately as claims. And so what we see in the South African market with the relative scale that it has, for basically consumers on average getting 78 cents back for every rand that they're putting in. Whereas in Tanzania or Uganda, for example, you're getting less, around about 30 cents back. So the reputational, it is very difficult to convince people to buy products when you're only giving them 30 cents in the rand back. And by contrast, you see the expenditure on management expenses is extremely high. I think Rebecca was sharing one statistic with me a bit sort of early. In the Ugandan market, there are currently something like less than 10,000 individual life policies currently in force, and that's for a market with over 40 million people in it. So with that, I'll hand over to Rebecca to sort of contextualize in the East Africa sort of context. Thanks.